Grace and peace to you and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is season 10 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I want to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. And God's Word is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's Word right now. Hey, normally we go right into the message, but I need to give a short introduction. Today's episode is from a sermon series I delivered years ago but never published on the podcast. Now, the sound quality is not the best, and that may be why I never published it. But the message still stands. So, here you go. Please remain standing for the reading of the Gospel according to St. Luke. This is Luke chapter 15 and beginning of verse 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And if you would, you can turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah, where the passage in Jeremiah that we read earlier, it's on in the Old Testament, page 678. We've been looking at Jeremiah in our series called Season of Creation. In the first week, we looked at how the people dug cisterns. They dug these holes in the ground. But God said that they were broken cisterns that could hold no water. He offered them living water, and instead they relied on their own efforts. And last week we looked in the potter's house. The potter was forming a bowl, and he didn't like it. He mashed it, and he reshaped it in the way that he liked it. And God said, I am the potter. I am your potter. Is it not, you know, okay for me to remake you the way that I wish? You are my creation. And so this week we're looking at chaos. How can anything good come out of chaos? How can anything good come out of destruction, brokenness? And yet God says that he can still create out of chaos. He created everything out of chaos. And now he talks about how he can continue to create in chaos. So throughout the Old Testament, there's a pattern of disobedience and punishment, repentance and restoration. And that's what we're seeing in the reading today. We already read it, so let us prepare our hearts and minds to receive this word. Let us pray. Almighty God, we humble ourselves before you this day to hear your word proclaimed in our presence. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and instruct us. May your word ever be in our hearts, that we may be faithful all of our days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 2009, I participated in a corporate fast with a church in Gainesville, Georgia called Free Chapel. the pastor there, his name is Jensen Franklin. He is he's a pastor who's very passionate. He has very anointed preaching, and he adopted fasting as a spiritual discipline early on in his life, and he shares that discipline with his congregation. And every year, in the beginning of the year, in January, the entire congregation of Free Chapel fasts for 21 days. Now, it's not like a total fast. Some people do go on a total fast, but some people just do what's called a Daniel fast. A Daniel fast is just eating certain foods, no meats, nothing to drink but water, just vegetables and grains. But it's basically depriving your flesh to feed your spirit. That's a way of looking at fasting. They do this corporately every year, and every year out of the fast comes usually a new ministry. And they never know what's going to happen, how God is going to move them, but somehow God does move them. When you've got 5,000 people all fasting for one purpose, mighty things can happen in God's name. At the end of this fast, Jensen Franklin announced that he felt like he was being led by God to begin a new ministry to the poor in Haiti. And this ministry was going to be feeding the poor, okay? He wanted to provide, he said, you know, I'm going to, beyond what I believe can be done, we're going to do 500,000 meals a month for a year. And so over the course of the next year, through fundraising and gathering of resources, they put all this together. And in fact, you know, it's amazing what God can do. You know, God says, do a little more, do a little more. And then at the end of it, he says, no, now I'm going to take over and we'll do even more. And this is what happened. Their plan was to provide 500,000 meals per month for a year. At the end, they had raised enough to provide 1 million meals a month for a year. And so they packed up this plane, and it was at the beginning of the next year's fast that they packed up this plane. This was January 10th of 2010. And as the plane was taxiing down the runway, just as the wheels left the tarmac, the earthquake hit in Haiti. Total devastation, total destruction. And the very first plane that landed in Port-au-Prince Airport was this plane carrying 1 million meals for the people of Haiti. Now, we couldn't have planned that. Nobody in their right mind said, you know, there's going to be an earthquake in a year. We better get a plane full of food ready for the people. That's not what they were doing. And somehow God made this possible. And so out of the destruction, there was this amazing ministry that was birthed in Haiti, which actually it was transformed into a different ministry. Because all of a sudden, the concern was not so much feeding the people as restoring them. And so this ministry morphed into something else. It turned into a ministry where they started to rebuild the homes of Haiti. And they rebuilt hundreds, thousands of homes down there. And this would have never happened if they had not first prepared themselves with this fast. Out of chaos comes something beautiful. Out of destruction comes creation. In 2012, here in Greater New Jersey, we received a new bishop under appointment. In July of 2012, we received a new bishop. His name is John Scholl. And John Scholl found his first test, really, big test, in October of that year when Superstorm Sandy hit and totally devastated the Jersey Shore, parts of New York. Remember, the New York City subways were underwater. And they sat down and he said, well, what can we do? and they started something called A Future with Hope. It gets its name from another passage in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 11. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not for your destruction. Plans to give you a future with hope." And that's what they wanted to do. Over the next few years, they raised $12 million to rebuild homes. These are Methodists coming together. And Methodists came from all over the country. Volunteers came to help people rebuild their homes that were lost. Out of this destruction came something beautiful. Out of chaos came creation. It's actually what we're seeing in the pages of Jeremiah today. The reading today seems very bleak, but I assure you there is a word of promise in verse 27 we'll get to in a second. But verses 11 and 12 go like this. "At that time it shall be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse, even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them." We think about the hurricanes that have happened recently in the Atlantic, and how the Bahamas have been just completely devastated. You know, in all of these things that I was speaking of, there is a before and there's an after. And these are life-changing, life-altering events that happen. In the people of Haiti, there is a before the earthquake and there is an after the earthquake. The earthquake is the chaos. And the people down the shore, there is before Sandy and after Sandy, and the Superstorm Sandy was the chaos. There's a before and there's an after. And in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the destruction, everything just looks bleak. There seems to be no hope whatsoever. And that's what was facing the people of Jerusalem at this time. They had turned their backs on God, which shouldn't surprise us, because by and large, as a society, we have turned our backs on God. We live our lives as if there is no God, as if there is no person or no higher authority that we need to answer to. We live our lives as if it's perfectly fine. We're starting to legalize vice, you know? And, you know, we look at everything that's going on today in certain states with the relaxing of abortion laws, and a report came out of Planned Parenthood that there was one center that had what's called a solitude room, where if a baby was delivered alive after a botched abortion, they put them in this room to let them cry themselves to death so that they can't be heard. What have we come to as a society where we embrace this as a choice? And so we've really turned our backs on God, just like the people in Jerusalem did. They did. It's we act as if we are our own God, gods unto ourselves. We are the center of our own morality. Whatever we say is right. There is no right and wrong anymore. You listen to people in this postmodern age, and nobody wants to say that somebody is wrong. You know, there's no right and wrong. If I say I'm a giraffe, you know, if I stand up here and say, "Hey, everybody, I woke up today and I decided that I am actually going to live as a giraffe." And people would say, well, the right response would be, "You're nuts." You know? But instead, in this postmodern age, everybody's like, "Well, that's your truth. You know, if that's true for you. For you, it's true that you're a giraffe." No, it's not. It's really not. And it's okay. It's okay to be wrong. And by the way, you can tell me I'm wrong. I can take it. But we live our lives as if there is no right and wrong, as if there is no black and white morality. But in the pages of the Bible, we find that to God, everything really is black and white. And this is what he says. You know, he delivered the people out of Egypt, out of slavery. He gave them this land, this promised land. He gave them the city of Jerusalem, which is a holy city, a place where he put his name. And what did the people do? They turned their backs on God. They started worshiping other gods, particularly Baal, Molech, really these Middle Eastern gods that were no gods. They were just made up gods. And God said, I'm the one who gave you life. I'm the one who created you. I'm the one who delivered you from slavery. And you turned your back on me, and now he passes judgment. Listen to verse 22. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. When's the last time you used that word, sottish? Have you called anybody sottish in your life? The word is, it really means stupid. That's what the word means, sottish. In fact, in my Bible right here, there's a little note, and it says, stupid. So if you don't know what the word sottish, call somebody sottish. Hey, you sottish driver. Yeah, whatever. So anyway, he said, they are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. That's God's judgment. They're so smart about doing wickedly, and they're so stupid about doing good, you know, about obeying his commandments. That's what he's saying. Now this is Jeremiah talking. Jeremiah has a vision in verse 23. Jeremiah says, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. So this is a vision that Jeremiah has. He sees this chaos. He sees this destruction in the wake of God's judgment. And he says, even creation is bowing down. Why is it that people can't get, you know, of all of God's creation bends itself to the whim and the will of God, and yet here we are who are made in his image, and we're the rebellious ones, you know? We're the only ones who refuse to acknowledge the might and majesty of God, our Creator. And so, this is what God says in verse 27. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. This is an amazing promise. See, because even God says, I'm going to destroy everything, but not everything. There will be total destruction, but it's not going to all be destroyed. God makes a promise that out of the ashes of destruction, something beautiful can still grow. That even in chaos, God is still creating. That even in our rebellion, God can still call to us, still move us. All throughout the Old Testament, he's constantly saying to the people, turn, turn. And that word turn is a word that we all use, repent, repent. It means to turn away from our sin, turn back to God. Stop doing what we're doing and start doing what God calls us to do. That's repentance. It's a change of heart. The Greek word is metanoia, which means it means a total transformation of my mind, of my thoughts, that everything is different. And if I turn away from what the things that my flesh are telling me to do, and I turn to God, God enables me to have a complete transformation. You know, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. You know, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. So, even in his judgment, he promises that he will not destroy completely. But he assures his people, he says, that the judgment is coming and there will be no turning back. He says, "For this shall the earth mourn and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and I will not repent, neither will I turn back from it." God's heart is to save the people. Think about what we read in Luke today. Jesus said, you know, if you have one sheep that wanders away, you leave the 99 that are safe in the field and you go after the one that's lost. You find the one that's lost and you put it on his shoulders and you say, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." And then he says something remarkable. There will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents more than 99 who need no repentance. Now that's hyperbole, because you can't find 99 people in this world who don't need repentance. In fact, the Bible tells us there is none good, no, not one. That's what it says in the psalm that we read today. There is none good, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody needs repentance. So what is he really saying? What he's really saying is, there's joy in heaven over one who repents more than 99 who are self-righteous, who think that they don't need repentance. That's what he's really saying. In Jeremiah's text, we see chaos. But out of chaos, there is still something good. God is always seeking after. That's what he sent Jesus. That's what Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's God's heart for us to repent, to turn back to him, and to be saved. So what chaos is there in your life? As Christians, we're often made to feel as if there's any upheaval, any turmoil, any mess in our lives, that we must be doing something wrong. We hide it. We hold it to ourselves. We don't want to share it with anybody. But Jesus tells us that God sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. Just know this, that in the midst of chaos, God is still creating. In a barren lava flow, there are flowers that grow. From the devastating earthquake comes a ministry to the impoverished of Haiti. From the devastation of Superstorm Sandy comes a future with hope. No matter what is going on in your life today, know that God is not finished. Out of the chaos and destruction, God can bring the beauty of creation. He wants to create in you a clean heart. He wants to remake you in the image of Christ. Turn your eyes upon the God who made you and be restored. Let us pray. Almighty God, we turn our eyes to you. We have strayed from the path. We have not done as you have called us to be. But we ask now, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to be upon us in the chaos of our lives, the chaos that we create. You can still make something new. You can still make something beautiful. And so we submit ourselves to you. We humble our hearts. We turn away from the things that the world is saying to us are okay. But we know in our hearts that those things are not according to your will. We turn away from those things and we turn our eyes back to you, where they belong. Our hearts and our eyes, our affections aimed directly to you, Lord. Draw us into you so that we may be remade in your image, so that we can truly be image bearers in this world. And let your grace flow from us. Let us share our faith with our friends and our families to draw people to you so that those lost sheep can be found, so that the lost coin can be found. And there will be rejoicing in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for your great mercy. And we bow our hearts to you now. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. My hope and prayer for you is that today's teaching has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. God has also blessed me by calling me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn, and Hudson United Methodist Church in Patricktown. If you live in the area and don't have a faith community of your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m., and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We are Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring congregations in the heart of New Jersey's farmland, and we also have Bible study during the week. Of course, if you don't live in the area, get involved with the church where you are. We are not called to be Christians in isolation, but in community. So I would encourage you to live out your faith with a group of like-minded believers where you are. Now, if our message today has touched you in some way, won't you please let us know? Send us an email, drop us a comment, subscribe, and share this message with someone who needs to hear it. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you would join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until then, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.